Trinadapi sunichena tadar eva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namaiva kevalam kalo naskiva 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 gatir anyata Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this fourth part of chapter 2, I give the subtitle Symptoms of Transcendence. Transcendence means spiritual. Transcendence means there is a name of God, Adhokshaja. Can everyone say? That person who cannot be perceived by the blunt material senses because he is beyond the range of the senses. So someone may say, well, if he's beyond the range of the senses, why even bother about him? Although he is beyond the range of the senses, he can be perceived, and he does reveal himself when your current blunt senses are spiritualized, when they are purified. And that is the subject matter of this last portion, Bhagavad Gita. Previously, we studied how Arjuna surrendered in the first part. Then in the second part, Krishna began his instructions with the first lesson of transcendental knowledge, the difference between the body and the soul. The difference between matter and spirit. The difference between that which is temporary and that which is eternal. Then, the next section, Krishna outlined the reason why Arjuna should fight this war because of his social position as a kshatriya. And we recall Krishna pointed out that Arjuna, it is a win-win proposition. If you fight the battle and you win, then you will rule the earthly kingdom. And if you fight the battle and lose, you'll go to heaven and enjoy. So it's a win-win proposition. The next part of chapter 2, Krishna explained the concept of buddhi yoga, linking with the Supreme by means of intelligence. The intelligence being the discriminating property of the mind. Therefore, in the next chapter, Krishna will point out that intelligence is higher than the mind. But higher than the intelligence is the soul. And higher than the soul, we'll realize or understand in chapter 13, is there is a super soul, God. That's the hierarchy. Now in this fifth and final portion, the symptoms of transcendence, we will chant the Sanskrit and the English translation, and if there is any inspiration from the Lord in the heart, I will pontificate. Shall we begin? Everybody say, Gaura Hari. Very good. Text number 54, chapter 2. Let's chant together. Where is your book? No book? No, don't give your book. All right, you want to be charitable. All right, are you ready? Let's go. And let's say Hari Bol to all the devotees online who are watching and listening. Hari Bol. Arjuna uvacha stitta pragyasya ka basha. Together, samadhi stasya keshava stitta dhi king prabhasheta kim asita prajeta kim. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How does one speak? And what is one's language? How does one sit? And how does one walk? So this Bhagavad Gita began with a series of questions and answers, and that is how Bhagavad Gita proceeds. That is the process. The student asks a question, and the learned teacher gives the qualified or authoritative answer. In the case of Bhagavad Gita, you cannot find a better combination, because Arjuna, highly decorated, highly elevated, and who is answering his questions? The supreme authority, Bhagavan. What is Bhagavan? The person who has all the opulences simultaneously to an unlimited degree. That's what we mean by Bhagavan. And the ultimate phase of Bhagavan is Krishna. So let's all chant Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna now begins to answer in text number 55. Please chant along with me. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Prajahati Yada Kaman Saravan Parata Manogatan Atman Yevatmana Tushta Stitta Pragyasta Dochate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Parata, when a man gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification, which arise from mental concoction, and when the mind thus purified finds satisfaction in the self alone, then one is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. So here you have a very nice verse which gives us several items of Vedanta. So, varieties of desire for sense gratification. There are unlimited. We learned previously in this chapter that a person who is not fixed in Krishna consciousness has many branches that the intelligence is splayed out, because there are unlimited desires. Desires for enjoying the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, and mind. The whole world is designed to gratify the demands of the senses. Here Krishna says, give them up. Because, as he says here, it arises from mental concoction. So this teaches us the mind is the whole purpose of yoga. Whatever yoga you do, the common denominator, controlling the mind. What does Lord Chaitanya say in his very first Shikshastakam? Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Cleanse the mind. Cleansing the mind is the same thing Krishna is saying here. Give up all varieties of sense gratification. That's what it means to cleanse the mind. By doing so, even it says here, thus purified. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, cleansing the mirror of the heart, the mind. That's when you become purified. Well, as a result, you find satisfaction in the self alone. The self was explained in 20 verses in chapter 2. The self is not what you see in the mirror, boys and girls. The self is not this wonderful body. And it's not the little mind. That's not the self. The self is the person that you have yet to see. The real you, who is more beautiful than anything. And alongside the real you is the most beautiful person, Krishna, who's right now in your heart. So that's finding satisfaction. That is pure transcendental consciousness. Let's go on to text number 56. Let's chant together. Dukesh vanud vigna mana sukeshu vigata spriha vita raga bhaya krodha stitha dhir munir uchyate. One who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness, and who is at free from attachment, fear, and anger, is called a stage of steady mind. Stitta dir muni, in the last line, that's a stage of steady mind. So the material world, by nature, ups and downs, dualities. So when something is going good in the material world, naturally the mind is very happy. And when things go south, when things go not as you planned, then we become disturbed. But a stitta dhir muni, a sage of steady mind, does not change no matter what's happening. For instance, people who gamble in the stock market, when the stock is rising, ooh, they're so happy. And then when the stock goes down, sometimes they feel like committing suicide. It's all the mind. But a stitta dhir muni, first of all, doesn't gamble in stock market to begin with, but doesn't become affected by the ups and downs of this material world. Let us go now to text number 57. Ya saravatra nabisnehas tat tat prapya shubha shubham nabi nandati nadveshti tasya pragya pratishtata. In this material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he or she may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. So, again, the same idea, being equipoised no matter what's going on. For instance, when you're in a boat, the waves can sometimes become very violent. But your business is get the boat to its destination. Somehow or other, stay on the boat, steer the boat through the treacherous waters. Sometimes the waves are calm and peaceful, but your business, stay fixed. So this material world is sometimes compared to an ocean. Taraha e bhava sindure. The great song, Bhajahure Mana. You can cross over this ocean of material existence. You can stay transcendental. How? Bhajahure Mana. When your mind worships Krishna. And what's the first installment benediction? You become fearless. Abhaya Charanara Vindare. Fearless at the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, for a bhakti yogi, the first order of business, fix the mind on Krishna. We do that immediately upon rising, because immediately upon rising, what do we say? Hare Krishna. Immediately, the mind is fixed on Krishna. The power of japa is such that it forces the mind. All right, mind, no nonsense now. Be quiet. I'm in charge. We are going to fix ourselves on Krishna. You don't like it, mind? Too bad. Shut up. You are now going to listen to this Maha Mantra. And as you listen, the mind becomes controlled. And the mind might try to strike you, slap it down. Hare Krishna. Each time the mind tries to take over, Hare Krishna, you dominate the mind. You beat it. Yes, you keep it under control. Just like you see, I see, people walking their dogs. So the mind is just like a dog. The dog is on a leash. And the owner of the dog will let the dog go so far. But if the dog goes too far, he yanks on that leash. Come back here. What? Come. And the dog obeys the master. The mind is like a dog. Don't let the dog drag you. You drag the dog. How? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Text number 58. Yada sang harate chayang kuramonganiva sarvashaha indriyan indriyartebhyas tasya pragya pratishtita. One who is able to withdraw the senses from sense objects. As the tortoise draws its limbs within the shell, is firmly fixed in perfect consciousness. In a few verses from now, Krishna will explain why this verse is of such importance. But for now, this is the thing that you have to remember. You have to have the enough strength to withdraw the senses when they start to latch on to sense objects. And as I said, in a few verses, he'll explain why. But for now, just keep in mind, I must have enough strength over my mind that when the senses start to become little attached, no, pull, like the tortoise. When necessary, the limbs are extended. When not necessary, that tortoise looks like a shell. Similarly, our senses, when ready to serve Krishna, use them. If not, withdraw them. Let's go now to text 59. Text 59 is a very important verse. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjang rasopyasya parang drisva nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. That's called cold turkey. You still want to, but you are saying no. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one is fixed in consciousness. The only way you can give up the inferior taste is if you have something better to replace it. That is why it is, and I was speaking about this last week When I was in Santiago, Chile, I gave a portion of a lecture on this point. It is very important that you always have a higher taste. Otherwise, if your higher taste is lacking, you will go back down to the lower taste. For instance, meat eating. The only way to conquer over meat eating is to give something superior, prasad. My experience, the very first time I had prasad, I knew I had to join this movement because I knew there was no place else in New York City where I could get this food. So I decided I am coming to that temple as much as possible. So I has given a higher taste. So in all aspects, when you become attached to reading Bhagavad Gita, you will lose your taste for reading any other kind of book, or say Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam itself says that if you get a taste for Srimad Bhagavatam, you cannot become attracted to any other literature because you have been given a higher taste. So the point I made in Santiago one morning was that we must be very careful not to lose the higher taste. Such as chanting. When you get a taste for chanting, you have to be very careful not to lose that taste, because that has happened to many people. They may have been chanting for dozens of years, and one day they lose that taste. So how do you lose your taste for chanting? That is the question. You lose the taste for chanting by offenses, by sinful activities. That is why we strictly follow the four regulative principles. No eating of meat, fish, or eggs. No illicit sex. No sex apart from procreation. No intoxication. No gambling. These four material activities are so powerful that if you indulge, you will soon lose your taste for chanting. So these four regulative principles are mandatorily and unequivocally have to be enthusiastically followed. That's the key. Not haphazardly or lukewarm. No, with great enthusiasm. So then you will able to have a taste. Then there are offenses. 10 offenses in the chanting of Hare Krishna. Up to 10 offenses, I will lose my taste. There is also offenses to the deity. If I become offensive in worshiping the deity, I will lose my taste. Then there is the offense against other devotees. If I offend devotees, I will lose my taste. Therefore, Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Let us go now to text 60. Yatato hiyapi kaunteya Purushasya vipaschitaha Indriyani pramatini Haranti prasabang manaha. The senses are so strong and impetuous, O Arjuna, that they forcibly carry away the mind, even of a man of discrimination, who is endeavoring to control them. This verse also will be explained in just a couple of verses. Again, for now, Krishna is just reminding us, don't take the senses to be something of any inconsequence. No. The senses are very strong and impetuous. It's not going to be easy. Controlling the mind and senses is not a walk in the park. It's an endeavor. It's a lifelong endeavor, and you have to constantly work at it. All right, we go now to 61. Tani sarvani sanyamya yukta asita matparaha vashehi yasendriyani tasya pragya pratishtata. One who restrains the senses, keeping them under full control, and fixes one's consciousness upon me, is known as a man of steady intelligence. This verse is a definition of Krishna consciousness. You control your senses, and at the same time, you're fixed on Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Positive, negative. Your senses are under control, restricted, and at the same time, the mind and senses are engaged and fixed on Krishna and his service. Now, in the next two verses, these were the verses I was referring to. I pointed out two verses why it's of utmost important to become fixed and not let the senses become out of control. Now in the next two verses, you'll see why I pointed out those two verses. Listen and watch carefully. Jayato Vishayan Pungsa Sangasteshu pajayate, sangat sanjayate kama, kamat krodho pijayate. This verse and the next describes a cycle, a downward spiral cycle. Watch. By contemplating the objects of the senses, that's where the whole problem starts. Contemplating the objects of the senses. Instead of contemplating Krishna, we contemplate the objects of the senses. The eyes want to see beautiful colors and beautiful forms. A man wants to see the curvaceous, beautiful form of woman. Woman wants to see the strong, potent body of man. That's where it begins. All of the advertising agencies know these two verses of Bhagavad Gita. They know if they make their advertisement for whatever stupid product they're trying to sell, if they can make it so that you will contemplate it, they've got you. So that when you go to the store, I must buy this product, because they have already brainwashed you. Even they're selling something insignificant, they'll have a naked woman or have something so clever that they convince you to buy this thing. Here is the cycle. By contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment. That is why man dresses attractively to attract the woman. And the woman dresses attractively because she wants the man to contemplate her, and by contemplating her, attachment. There you have it. The whole material world. It starts right there. When you contemplate the object of the senses, you become attached. For instance, at Christmas time, the children are watching television. In between the show, there are these advertisements. The con men, who are known as the advertising agents, construct that commercial in such a way that the child immediately gets hooked. Mommy, Daddy, I want this. They did it. These advertising con men have spent millions of dollars in research, development, and they've spent millions of dollars on a 10-second commercial. What's the objective? Get the kid hooked on the product. That's how it works. And then it works on the big kids, the teenagers, and the so-called adults. You contemplate the object, you become attached. And from attachment, lust. Lust means I want it. I must have it. I must enjoy. From lust, anger arises. Next lesson of transcendental knowledge. Why does Krishna say, after lust, anger arises? That will be explained in chapter 3, but for now, if anger follows lust, it is therefore implied that you're not satisfied with lust. Because when do you get angry? You get angry when you don't get what you want. You thought, I thought, we all think, that by going for lust, I will be happy. But what happens? I can't get no satisfaction. That song was playing all summer long in 1965. It wasn't till I became a devotee, that would be 8 years later, that song made any sense. He was singing the absolute truth. He was singing, I can't get no satisfaction. The Bhagavad Gita said, of course not. This material world is not designed for your satisfaction, Mr. Jagger, or anybody else. This material world is designed to frustrate you. Welcome to the material world. It's not designed for your happiness, boys and girls. That's the illusion. This is how Maya is so powerful. She promises, enjoy me, lust me. It looks like you're going to enjoy. It looks like, but at the end of the day, and then you become angry. That's what happens. It's happening since the dawn of creation. It will continue to happen till the end of days. Material sense gratification is a mirage in the desert. The animal in the desert thinks there is water just ahead, but it's a mirage. And the animal runs and runs and chases, but never gets, because it's a mirage. Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Paris, anywhere you go, it's a mirage. Bite the big apple. Don't choke. It looks like you're going to enjoy, but at the end, you're angry. Let's go to the next verse because it doesn't end there. Krodad bhavati sammoha, sammohat smriti vibramaha, smriti brangshad buddhinasho, buddhinashat pranasyati. From anger, delusion arises. And from delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. Yes, this material pool, there is a downward trend or an upward trend. You attending this class are on the upward trend. You are trying to get out of the material pool. But those who become entrapped in this downward cycle go deeper and deeper into the pool. You're in the pool because you're in this material world. The goal is to get out. But if you don't practice Krishna consciousness, not only do you not get out, but you go deeper and deeper. So that's why we say, go back home, back to Godhead. Get out of the pool. You do that by practicing Krishna consciousness. You do that by taking out your beads and loudly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. With each vibration, you're getting out of the pool. With each chant. Let's now finish up text 64. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atma vasharya videhatma prasadam arigachchati. Look at that nice word, prasadam. Beautiful word. But prasadam doesn't just mean food. Prasadam means mercy, favor, grace. Krishna says, a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control the senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. In my field of preaching, everywhere I go, people come to me for blessings. That's just what happens to me. I may go to Chile, I may go to Panama, I may go to South Africa, I may go anywhere. No matter what, people say, Prabhuji, please bless me. So perhaps I should memorize this verse. And when I bless them, chant this verse. Because what does Krishna say? Becoming free from attachment and aversion, controlling your senses through regulative principles of freedom. My favorite story. One time in Panama, I was on this penthouse apartment of a very wealthy businessman in Panama. And one of his relatives came from Hong Kong, a very heavy lady. Swamiji, she asked me, can you give me peace, Swamiji? Can you give me peace? I said, do you eat meat? Oh, I love meat. I can't give you peace. I said, do you drink liquor? Of course, I can't give you peace. Do you gamble? Yes. How I can give you peace if you're eating meat in taking intoxication, in gambling. You're doing the very thing that will destroy peace. I can't give you peace. I don't have a magic wand. All right. You now have peace. Oh! If I could do that, I wouldn't be here. I'd be on the cover of Time magazine. He gives peace. Obama would invite me to the White House. I'm going to go on television and give peace to everyone. It don't work that way. Krishna is teaching how to have peace. Regulative principles of freedom. Prabhupada is giving peace when he says to the disciple, what are the four vows? And the disciple stands with folded hands. No meat, fish, or eggs, no illicit sex, no intoxication and gambling. Then Prabhupada says, and chant. And the disciple says, 16 rounds. Your name will be Shantadas, the servant of peace. You want peace? Here it is. Complete mercy of the Lord. Anyone can have it. Just gotta obey this commandment. Text 65. Prasade sarvadukanang hanir asyo pajayate prasana chetaso hyashu buddhi paryabhatishtate. For one thus satisfied in Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence no longer exist. In such satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. So here is satisfaction. In the other sense gratification, there was no satisfaction. Here is satisfaction. Satisfaction is with Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, why would people like Gopal and Stavir Bhakti be chanting for years and years on end? Same with me. If I wasn't finding satisfaction in Krishna consciousness, you think I would stay even one day? I got news for you. I want to enjoy. I joined this movement to enjoy. So if there was no satisfaction in Krishna consciousness, I would not have stayed these 35, 36 years. Trust me. The proof is me, it's you. The fact that you're still chanting proves you have the satisfaction that Mick Jagger never got. But you've got it. The threefold miseries. Our bodies and mind cause us miseries. We get miseries from other living entities. And we get miseries from the demigods. Last 12 days I was in Santiago. When I left LA on February 29th, it was very cold that morning. I get to Santiago, it's in the 80s and 90s. I come back on the plane, I'm only wearing a kurta. When I get home at 1 o'clock, it's so cold. Welcome to the material world. Text 66. Nasti buddhi ayuktasya na cha yuktasya bhavana na cha bhayavata shantir ashantasya kutasukam. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Growing up in the 60s, and in my case, avoiding the Vietnam War at all costs, I was a peacenik. My religion was peace, no war. That was my, all you need is love, brother. Make love, not war. That was my mantra. But Krishna is saying here, you fool, you can have not this cheap peace. Here's what you have to do to have peace. You have to be connected with Krishna. You have to have transcendental intelligence, a steady mind, then you can have peace. Not by some mudra. Here's my mudra. Peace, brother. No. And you want to be happy? First you have to have peace. Then you can have happiness. Everybody is happy by a nice meal. But if you're constantly being disturbed during your meal, you're not going to enjoy. For instance, the very first time in India, I went to India in June of 1975. I can still remember that day, lunchtime in Balaram, Krishna Balaram temple. It must have been 150 degrees. It was so hot. And they gave me a plate of prasad. But I would take a bit of food, in the next second, the whole plate was covered with flies. I'd have to brush the flies away, grab some food, because the flies would come back. So what kind of happiness you can have, right? The flies are disturbing. Every 2 seconds, it was like an army of flies. Oh, prasad, let's go! Indriyanang hi charatang yanmanandu vidhiyate tad asya harati pragyang vayor navam ivambasi. This verse is meditation. Sometimes people say, oh, you devotees, don't you do meditation? Yes. Here is a meditation. Meditate on a boat. As a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind. So now meditate on that. That's your meditation. A boat. So I'm now going to be a yogi. Boat. Meditate on the boat. Do you see the boat? Now the boat is on the water. Do you see the water? Now the wind comes. Do you see the wind? As a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, even one of the roaming senses on which the mind focuses can carry away a man's intelligence. You've all had experience of that. You're trying hard to chant. All of a sudden, the mind goes, it's gone somewhere. All of a sudden, somebody says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Or you're in Bhagavatam class, and the person is giving class, and you're going to listen, but little by little, your eyes are. Somebody taps you. I'm not sleeping. I'm not sleeping. I remember. In one temple, they used to have a spray bottle. And it was a devotee's job. If you saw somebody sleeping in class, they'd squirt him. It was great. They'd squirt the devotee. Really? But the best one of them all? All right, there's two good examples. There is somebody, I don't know the name, who fell asleep while eating. And he was eating and his head went like this, shh, boom, into his plate. But the one that tops that, there was a devotee who fell asleep in his own class. That is the record. His class was so boring, even he fell asleep. But nobody woke him up. They let him stay.
I love it.
Let's go. Tasmad yasya mahabaho nigrihitani sarvasha indriyan indriyatebhyas tasya pragya pratishtita.
Therefore, O mighty armed, one whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly of steady intelligence. That's one of the benefits of living in the ashram. You have seriously reduced the ability of your mind to meditate on sense objects
unless you go on the internet. Then you're finished.
But if you stay away and just become absorbed in temple life, your senses will be pretty much restrained from sense objects. That's one of the perks, spiritual perks, of living in an ashram.
Yanisha sarvabhutanam tasyang jagarti sanyami yasyang jagrati bhutani sanisha pasyato mune.
What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage.
So, we are going to bed early, and we rise early. When I was in Santiago last week, I believe it was Saturday night, I was taking rest, and all of a sudden at 2 o'clock in the morning, these people living next door decided to have a big party. And so I was woken up by, rawr, rawr, rawr. I was saying, my God, it's 2 o'clock. They're just starting their party now. Therefore, I remembered this verse. And they become enlivened with the onset of night, because night means enjoy. Nighttime for us means time to wind down. Time to wind down, become peaceful, and keep the senses under control. Text 70.
Apuryamana machala pratishtang samudram apa pravashanti sarve sashantim apnoti nakamakami.
A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires.
Vihaya kaman yaksaravan pumangs charati nispriha nirmamo nirahankara sashantim adigachchati.
A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship, and is devoid of false ego, alone can attain real peace. So these last two verses, they go together. Final verse of the chapter.
Esha brahmi stiti parata nainam prapya vimuhyati stitvasyang antakalepi brahma nirvanam richyati.
That is the way of the spiritual and godly life.
Everybody hold on a second. My computer just died. Well, what do you know?
What is the rest of the translation? All together, can you all read it out loud? So that's the whole goal of spiritual life, to enter the kingdom of God.
This whole class is all about entering the kingdom of God. That's what we're striving for. And you enter the kingdom of God by the practice of Krishna consciousness. Everybody chant.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Gopal.
Krishna, Hare Rama.
Very good. Let us chant until... No, take it. Let's chant until it's time for arti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Those of you interested, I will be giving this class next Wednesday as well. Hope to see you all. Haribo. See you all.